This meeting. I'm glad we have a lot of little children here. I know that you have to sit through the other meetings and perhaps some of the things that are said you don't understand. But I hope that what we have here in this next few moments will be something that you can understand and enjoy of the things of the Lord for yourself. I'm going to open my Bible here to the 113th Psalm, and we're not going to read it just yet, but you may open your Bibles to the 113th Psalm if you'd like. I noticed several children and older ones coming up and looking into this box that I had up here for about the last half an hour, and they were probably looking in there. I saw some of them kind of screwing up their faces and wincing at that and probably wondering, well, what are we ever going to talk about? All he's got in there are about a half a dozen old dirty bottles and a little bouquet of flowers. I'm going to put them out here where you can see them. I'm not going to talk about them just yet, but we will pretty soon. And I told you where we're going to read. And so while we're singing a few songs this morning, maybe you can let your imagination or your thoughts work a little bit to see just what is it that we're going to be able to draw from some old dirty bottles and a bouquet of flowers. But first of all, I think we ought to sing a song, and I need a song book. And I see on the back of this little hymn sheet here, it says, Children's Hymns and Choruses on the very back page. So I'm going to let you children pick out some hymns, perhaps from this back page. If you pick out some hymns from up toward the front, I might be embarrassed. If you pick out number 7 or number 18 or some of those, they're not very well known, and I don't think they distributed these hymn books to the back there, and so we might have a hard time singing them. But if you'd like to sing some of those hymns up toward the front, that would be all right. But most of the hymns that you know and love are right here on the back page. Is there anybody that would like to call out or ask for one of these little songs that you're so used to singing? Can just call out a number. Did you have one? 44. He says number 44. And that is a favorite indeed. Number 44. Into the tent where a gypsy boy. that everybody is here and ready for the little children's meeting and seated and settled, I think we ought to ask the Lord's help, okay? Let's put the little girl in the assembly in Red Bluff, about the age of many of you. Her name is Joy. Every time I ever sing a hymn and I see the word joy, I always think of her. And we just sang it. Send unto me the good tidings of joy. And she is a pleasant little girl, and I believe she loves the Lord Jesus. And she brings joy there, and just as you little ones do to your parents and to those in the assembly where you are. This little hymn that we just sang about the gypsy boy, you know, it is a true story. Has anyone ever told you that? I believe so. This is a true story about a little gypsy boy. And what happened to that little gypsy boy? What is the main thing that you can think of that happened in this song to that little gypsy boy? Who can tell me what happened to him? Do you know what happened to him? What happened to him? That's right. That is the most important thing. I thought somebody would say he died, and he did. But you know, the most important thing is that he was saved. That's good news. There was a young lady, she was 16 years old, down where I live, just a week before last, that was driving down the road, and she ran off the road. She wasn't driving carefully, and she hit a phone pole, and she was in eternity just like that. And at the funeral of that, she lived just down the road from my little store there out in the country. I've known her for years. She's the same age as one of my daughters. At the funeral of that little girl, of that young lady, she was 16, her father stood up and said, "Oh, I would like to have had just one more occasion to give her an embrace and to tell her that I loved her." But she was gone. Know how often we would like to take you in our arms, and we do, and we give you an embrace, and we tell you that we love you, but how much more? The Lord Jesus loved you. He gave himself for you that you can be saved. Who has another little hymn that we'd like to sing this morning? There's a boy down there. Say it nice and loud. 41? 41, he says. Around the throne of doing in glory? What is one of the things that you'll be doing up there anyway? You just sang about it. What will they be doing? They'll be singing, that's right. Do you think we'll ever get tired of singing? I looked out across this number of people here while we were singing this little hymn, and I noticed the little ones up here singing and enjoying it. But you know what else I saw? I saw big folks way in the back over there, and they were just singing this like they'd enjoyed it for the first time. That's what I noticed. But the older folks back here, they were singing it and enjoying it too. You know what? They used to sing this song when they were your age. Many of them did. They haven't got tired of it yet. Can you imagine what it'll be like in glory? We'll be singing for eternity that new song, and we'll never get tired of it. Never get weary. Because that song is about the Lord Jesus, and we sing that He is worthy. And I don't care how long we've been there, we're never going to get tired about singing the praises and glory of the Lord Jesus. Well, who would like to pick one more? I see a little boy over there with his hand up. Did he say 46? 46, he said. And who picked one over here? I heard a voice. Which one? 60? Okay, we're going to sing 16. Okay, we're going to sing 46 right now. Glad T-I-D-I. Because I want to speak to you a little bit, and we'll save number 16 for the end, okay? Remember that number, 16. I'm going to open my book to it right there. And we're going to look at the 113th Psalm. I said that my Bible was open to that Psalm. We're going to read that Psalm. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Well, we'll stop right there for just a moment. This little Psalm begins and ends with the same statement, "Praise ye the Lord." And who is the psalmist speaking to there? Who is God speaking to there? He speaks to us through this book. He would like to have people for himself to praise him. And we've been praising him this morning as we've sung a few of these little hymns. And as we read the Word of God, and as we enjoy the thoughts of the Lord Jesus in our hearts as we go on to this life, do you praise the Lord? O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. What can a servant do? A servant is the one who obeys his master, isn't he? You can obey your master as the Lord Jesus, as your master, by obeying your parents, honoring your mother and father, obeying your teachers at school, living for the Lord like that. That's an honor to the Lord Jesus, and your whole life can be a song of praise to the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know what that word means, blessed? Perhaps you've heard a brother stand up and he says, "Blessed God and Father." What does he mean by that? The word blessed means to speak well of. And you can speak well of the Lord Jesus. You don't have to wait until you get quite a bit older before you do that. You can speak well of the Lord Jesus in your own little lives, wherever God has placed you, at school, at home, with your brothers and sisters, with your mother when she's shopping, to be a help there, and so on. Your whole life can speak well of the Lord Jesus because people see you and they know the profession that you make in your life speaks something, and it may speak well of the Lord Jesus. And when should we start to speak well for the Lord Jesus? When can we start speaking well of the Lord Jesus? From this time, it says in verse 2. This is a good time to speak well of the Lord Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Do you speak well of the Lord Jesus? I hope that you do. The Lord Jesus loves you. Do you love the Lord Jesus? When shall we stop speaking well of the Lord Jesus? Well, the verse tells us that too. It says, forevermore, we'll never stop speaking well of the Lord Jesus. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. Do you know when God put the sun in its position at the beginning of creation until the time when he takes it away and the Lord Jesus is the light thereof? He will have a people for himself that will speak well of him and will praise him. He has had a people on this earth somewhere that he has had for himself to speak well of him. And you have the opportunity, the privilege of speaking well for the Lord Jesus in 1989. In the very place that God has put you. This poor world today is despairing and wondering if there's even any purpose in life at all. And God reveals himself to us and what his purpose is for us. You know that you have a very purpose in life, and you don't have to wait until you're older to realize it and to enjoy it. You can enjoy it right now. As little children, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4, you can speak well of the Lord Jesus from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The day of grace has arisen on this world when the Lord Jesus came in and he gave himself. And the gospel of the glory of Christ goes forth, telling us that God is love and that he has saved us according to his holy ways. And the sun is going to set on this day of grace soon. But for the whole period, God will have somewhere a people that will praise his name. And you have the opportunity to be one of those people right now. The sun rose this morning, and in another several hours, it's going to set today. Did you get up this morning and pray? From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Did you get up this morning and praise the Lord in your heart? Will you do it tonight? You can do it. What a privilege. Imagine it. Think of it, little ones. That you, a little child, and myself too, and each one in here, have that opportunity to lift up the voice and speak to God. Do you know who God is? The creator of all things. And God loves you and he's thinking of you. While we were coming up here, we were driving through the desert of eastern Oregon, and the flowers were in bloom. They were beautiful. We stopped at a place along the road that looked kind of desolate. That whole area reminds me of what the whole world is like, a waste wilderness. I would see a cow out there every once in a while as we drove along, and it was searching diligently for a blade of grass to sustain it. Had to take a lot of steps sometimes to find just a blade of grass out there in that desert so that it could be nourished. Oh, you know, this world is a wasteland. It's a desert because they've turned God out. But God has a people for himself, and you know where he's put them? Right here in this wasteland. Right here in this old desert world. And we have the opportunity to bloom and flower for him, to his glory. I see some Queen Anne's lace here. And here's one, I think it's called a brodelia. Pretty little flower. There's some blue sage. This is, I think, some lupin. Back east, I think they call it blue bonnet. They're not all the same, are they? You children aren't all the same either. And perhaps you bloom in a different way, but each one of these is so pretty in its own special way. And it's valued by the beholder. I so enjoyed each flower. What if they were all the same? God has different little ones to bloom in their own way and their own place for himself. And you can bloom and shine and flower for the Lord. You don't have to be just like the person next to you, not even just like your brother or sister. We all bloom and flower for the Lord in different ways. Here in this desert, we have that privilege. We have that responsibility. And this flower didn't reach way down inside of itself and try to squeeze out some beauty for the beholder. It was just natural, wasn't it? It was just doing there what God set it there to do. His eye beholds every precious thing, and he sees every precious child in this room. And he wants you to draw near to him. And if you'll do that, you'll bloom just like this flower does in this desert world. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? The Lord is high above. He is God. He is creator of all things. He is holy. But you know what? He looks down on this world, and he sees little ones here. He sees boys and girls and men and women. He loves them. He comes down and beholds the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Who is like unto the Lord our God? John 3:16 answers that question. You know John 3:16, don't you? I have many, many little boys and girls come into my store out there where I live that have never heard John 3:16 in their life. They're 12, 14, 15 years old. They go clear through their life and they never heard John 3:16 before in their life. They never heard the song, Jesus Loves Me. What a privilege for your dear little ones to have heard that verse, to have it valued in your home, and to sing these songs. For God so loved the world. Who is like unto the Lord our God? What is God like? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loves you. You know what happened when he gave his only begotten Son? His Son whom he loves. I have children. I know something about what it is to love my children, my sons and my daughters. This Son, his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, he gave him on Calvary. That was a terrible thing. He came into this world that he had created, and man turned him away and gave him the place of a cross. But on that cross he died, and he shed his blood and he bore the sins of many. That, to God, is life. He is love. He is light. Who is like unto the Lord our God, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Well, here is a little picture, too, of what God is doing. He takes a poor, lost, guilty sinner out of the dunghill. That's the way this world is seen, as a dunghill, as a garbage heap. Right near where I live, out in the country, there's a field there where my children went, and I had told them that that had been the dump for the town there back in the 20s and 30s, 50 years ago. And it was in a slough, and in the wintertime the slough runs, and dirt came and filled over the dump. They don't dump there anymore. And they went out and they dug up a bunch of bottles. These aren't the bottles that they dug up. I didn't know I was going to have the children's meeting, and when I found out, I thought, well, I won't go back and get those bottles right now. But I looked around, and Larry and Jerry Tony, they had some bottles in their basement. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. No, I don't want to tell you that Larry and Sherry's basement is like a dunghill, but I'm thinking that where I found those bottles in the slough was the dump where my children found them. They carefully dug around so they wouldn't break the bottles, and they brought them back in, and they cleaned them all up and shined them up, and they put them on the ledge. In fact, now I have them, some of them, down at the store up on the top shelf where people can see those old bottles that used to be there 50 years ago. And they had a use, you know. They had a use there. And so I'm thinking about how it is that God comes down to this dunghill, and he takes some for his own, and he lifts them up. And ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, and ye are justified. That's what it says. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now these bottles here, I'm going to pass this one around here. This is a fairly clean one. And I don't know what the uses were for these different bottles, but this one is fairly clean. Looks kind of nice. Perhaps this was it's not very big. You can take that if you would. Look at it and just pass it around so that others can see it there. It's a pretty little old bottle. Not too much to it, but perhaps that was an old perfume bottle. Has a little etching on it there. It says SB. I don't even know what that stood for. We've got some other bottles here. This one isn't very clean. I don't know what it was used for. Doesn't have anything on the label. Here's one that looks kind of like an old ink bottle that used to go in the inkwell of the desk. All these bottles are different. They're not all the same, and each of these bottles had different uses. Just like the Lord would raise us up out of the dunghill, and he doesn't just raise us up and bring us out of the dunghill, but he also brings us in, you know, that he may set him with princes. The other translation of the Bible says nobility or princes. You sit with nobility, God's people. He brings us into that place where he looks down and considers us as princes, as nobility, as priests before him. He lifts the needy and the poor out of the dunghill. And that's what we have to feel, our need and our poverty. We need the Lord Jesus. We could never be saved without the Lord Jesus. Little boys and girls, you can never be saved if you leave the Lord Jesus out, if you think that you can do the best that you can. God sent the Lord Jesus for the poor and the needy, that sinners might be brought to repentance. I wonder where the little bottle is. Who has the little bottle? There it is. That bottle has probably been sitting in Sherry's basement for a long time. Maybe it's 30 or 40 years old. And, of course, there's not much to it anymore. If it were a perfume bottle, there's surely no smell left in it. But usually when people pass a little bottle around like that, the natural thing to do is to sniff it, even though it's 30 or 40 years old. And I didn't want anybody to be disappointed, so after I shaved this morning, I took a few drops of Aquavelv and dumped it in the bottle there, so nobody would be disappointed if they smelled it. You know, the Lord wants us to send forth a sweet-smelling odor for Himself. And that's another privilege that we have down here, to send forth a sweet savor unto the Lord. Here are two bottles that I found, or that were in her basement. And here's a big one, and here's a little one. Maybe this could be the father, and this could be the son, or the mother and the daughter. And they are labeled the same. It says Carper, Bone 1000, Walla Walla, Washington. And this one says the same thing. How nice it is to see a child take up what the parents enjoy, the things of the Lord Jesus, and enjoy them for himself or herself. Really nice, isn't it, to be raised in a Christian home? No greater joy hath a father than to see his children walking in the truth. So I thought about that when I saw these two bottles there. Well, we've got a little bottle here that might be a child. We've got a bigger one here that might be an old person. Dr. J. Hostetter's Stomach Bitters. You know, a lot of times many years ago, people would go around and they would sell maybe some kind of a portion or liniment or whatever that was used for. Perhaps it had some medicinal value. Perhaps it didn't. Maybe the person that sold that bottle just made a little money off of it. Maybe all he put in there was slew water or something and fooled the people. I don't know. But wouldn't it be nice? Some of these bottles perhaps did have medicine. I know that we used to put medicine in some of these. Castor oil. That one. If the Lord would use us as a vessel to be a help to others, to encourage others, that's kind of medicinal, isn't it? When you don't feel very well, you ask your mother for perhaps an aspirin or something to take, and you'll feel better. Wouldn't it be nice if even with your brothers and sisters you could be tender toward them and have a care for them and be like that bottle that had medicinal value? Here's the one I said looked kind of like an inkwell. If you might be like Ezra, a ready scribe. Do you read your Bible in the morning? Do you read it in the evening? Many of you are old enough to do that, you know. Or to listen and pay attention when it's read in your family and when you go to meeting. I know there are many things that you don't understand. And sometimes I'm wondering if my children are even taking it in when I'm sitting there and listening and they're just kind of fidgeting around in their seat. But they really take in a lot more than we realize. And they really are listening to a lot more than we realize. I hope you'll grow and come along to be like this, a ready scribe in the things of the Lord, to learn the scriptures like Timothy did from his mother and his grandmother. Well, here is a bottle that perhaps wouldn't be very usable right now. Why don't you think we could reuse this bottle right now? for whatever it was worth. Would you put a water in there and drink out of a bottle like that? Would you care to do that? No, it's kind of dirty, isn't it? Too dirty for that. It needs to be cleaned up. That's why I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6 that ye are washed. You have to be washed when you're taken out of the dump. First thing that you need is to be washed. Otherwise, you wouldn't be very serviceable. God has to wash us. You know how he washes us? By the water of the Word. And he washes our sins away in the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And then it says you're sanctified. And all that means, that great big word, it means that you're set apart for the Lord Jesus. Set apart for his use. That you can be serviceable and useful for him. If you're set apart for him, he sets you apart, but you can have a part in that too by being careful in your own little lives that you don't get all dirty and then you're not very usable for the Lord. This is a bottle nevertheless, but it needs to be cleaned. Sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. And then it says justified. You know, when I think of the word justified, it's another big word that perhaps you children don't understand. Let me try to explain it so that you can understand it. If I were to take these bottles like the one I have back at the store and run it through the dishwasher, and my wife would take a little brush or pipe cleaner, stick it down in there and clean it all out. My son was doing that, getting them all nice and clean. I can put them up on my shelf. I wouldn't want to put a dirty old bottle up on the shelf in my living room, would I? But I could put that bottle right up on my shelf and I can enjoy it there right in my own home. And we can be like a little bottle that enjoys being appreciated in the very presence of God. You know how your parents love you? And how they appreciate you and how they love to have you in their family and they care for you. And you're comfortable there in their very presence. As a child, you know that God has justified us. He's cleansed us from our sins and brought us right into his very presence in all favor as a child of God. The full favor of a child of God. That's what justification means. Not only brought out from the dung heap and washed and sanctified and forgiven, but brought into the very favor of a holy God. So that in the same nearness, intimacy, love, closeness, that you look up to your mother and your father, and you say, Mother, you say, Father, you can look up into the face of God and say, Father, and ask of him for your needs and tell him about your cares and your hurts and your sorrows and your joys, and he loves to have you there. Well, we've come to about the end of the time, and I want to look at the last verse and then sing that song. The last verse says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. Without the Lord Jesus, we're just as barren and dry as we can be. It's hard to describe how barren and fruitless we are without the Lord Jesus. You may go to the very top of this world, but without the Lord Jesus, you're barren before God, without fruit. But if you will receive the grace of God in accepting Jesus as your Savior, you become fruitful. But he asked us to be a housekeeper too. And you need to keep your little houses. He wants to make you fruitful. He wants to make you bloom for him. He wants to use you in the different capacities, just as these little bottles are used in different ways for those who have need of them. He wants to bring you into his presence and make you useful there. But we need to be good housekeepers. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. He helps us, you know. If we keep close to the Lord Jesus, we'll be good housekeepers. Keep your little house clean. You wouldn't want to go in a house that's just filled with rubbish and never been cleaned, and the dishes aren't done and the floor isn't swept and it's just a shambles in there. God wants you to be neat and tidy for Himself in your own little hearts. Keep your house. And to be a joyful mother of children, to be productive, to be fruitful for the Lord Jesus. What a blessed privilege that is. And then, as we come to the end of the psalm, I said it ends as it began. Praise ye the Lord. Well, let's sing that little hymn number 16 that she called out. Because it's for whosoever. It's for each one of you little children personally to come to the Lord Jesus and to be fruitful and to shine and bloom for Him and to be usable for Him. Number 16. Whosoever heareth shall. That thou dost have a purpose in mind for every single one of these little ones here, that they might come to thee and bloom for thee and be usable and serviceable to thee. And we have just sung that it is for whosoever will. And so we pray that there is that desire, that will, that there is that will with each of them, that they might be one of the whosoever, to come to the Lord Jesus and cling to Him. That they might fulfill that purpose for which thou wouldst call them. Praise ye the Lord. We thank thee for the time together, for the word open, and we know that only fruit will come from the word of God, by the Spirit of God, and we commit the time to thee and to these precious little ones. We bear them up to thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.